I've been thinking about the text I preached 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to revisit that same text and preach it from a different perspective. Sometimes I'll have a scripture on my mind, and I just can't let it go. So I've been pondering this, and the beauty of God's word is so much that you can go to a text again and again and again, and God could do so much through it, and that's what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. I'll be preaching out of the ESV, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41, and I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. It reads this way. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, they were returning. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Lord, we've come to your temple again, a meeting place to receive manna from you, Lord, fresh manna. Some here are hungry and need to be fed. Some are depleted and need to be refreshed. Others need clarity. We all have a need. And when we come to you, you alone can satisfy our needs. And we ask that you would satisfy them this day. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have 3 points that I want to discuss this morning. God's purpose, God's process, and God's power. God's purpose. Another way of saying God's purpose is to ask it in a question form. God, what are you doing? God, what does this mean? The Bible tells us that God is a God of wrath. The Bible also tells us that God is a God of power. And it says that God is a God of mercy. So when we ask the question, what is God's purpose? His ultimate purpose is stated in Romans chapter 9 and verse 23. And it is this: to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. God's ultimate purpose is to make known his riches of glory for his vessels of mercy, which would be us, these things that he has prepared beforehand. God sent his Son to the earth to that end. Why was Jesus with Joseph and Mary in the first place? Why did Jesus go to the cross? He did that to save his children, to fulfill the Father's purpose. It's been said that God's purpose in saving his children is to show them his eternal kindness toward them in Christ forever. I've had people be kind to me for seasons or like one-time situations. But this purpose of God is to save his children and to show them eternal kindness. Kindness forever. We can ask ourselves in terms of God's purpose, why am I here? Well, you were created to be in God's family. You were created to be a benefactor of God's blessings. You were created to be a recipient of his grace and his mercy. And ultimately, you were created to glorify him and to make him known. That's what it really boils down to. How can we know that this God has created us to be benefactors of his blessing, to be in his family, to be products of his grace and mercy? Mercy, not giving you the punishment you deserve. And grace, bestowing on you unmerited favor. If we believe that, what is going to happen is, I glorify you, Lord. I need to make you known. You've been so good to me. When we speak about purpose, we see that Jesus was in the temple speaking to the teachers of the law. Why? To fulfill God's purpose. Jesus was raised by Joseph and Mary. Why? To fulfill God's purpose. Jesus went to the cross. Why? To fulfill God's purpose. Who does God call us to be? What does that mean? We are to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. That Jesus. So you and I were made to give him glory and make him known. Which leads to the process. What is God's process? Chapter 3 of Luke jumps right from Jesus being 12 to him being 30. I don't know about you, but there's many times in my life where I wanted to jump from the process and move right into the arrival. I remember being a kid. I gotta be careful because my mother listens online. My parents have 8 kids. I'm the oldest. They had me young. And I remember thinking, I can't wait to get out of this house. Why do you keep having all these kids? We can hardly eat with 5 of us. Now she got another one's coming. We can feed 5, we can feed 6. Are we really being fed? But that's not the only time in my life that I wished I could jump from like one place in the process. And it's just like, can I get to the point of arrival already? The first part of that being a problem is like every day in life is a gift from God. So, yes, we have our ultimate destination, but we're being blessed along the way in the journey. The second problem with that is whatever you think you're arriving to, and it may eliminate some of that stuff that you've been through and what you came from, there's going to be a new set of things. A lot of times that new set of things was like, I thought that was a problem. I remember one of our sons really acting like, I can't wait to get out of here. He wasn't really saying it. Like, I didn't say that to my mama, I'm saying it now, right? I could tell. He was like, I need to get away from these people. They're too strict, this, that, and the. I want to do what I want to do. Full-grown man says, man, I wish I was 10 again. Don't think because the narrative shows Jesus 12 and then him jumping to 30 that he wasn't going through the process. We can't move from developmental stages. We can't get around being pruned. We can't get around being submitted. We can't come right to the end game, to the reward. Just look at the characters in the Bible. That didn't happen for Abraham. Joseph didn't go from the pasture to the palace. Moses went through from the palace to the pasture. He did the opposite thing. David just didn't go from the pasture to the palace. He had to go through the cave. And Jesus himself, just big picture, went from his throne in heaven into his creation, to the cross, to the grave, back to the earth, and return to heaven. And he's coming back. What would he gain to skip the process? Joseph and Mary found themselves searching for Jesus for days. It says, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them, and he went down with them. Language in the Bible is really important. Jesus was 12. You would think it would read, and they took him home. Because if I'm searching for you, and you were supposed to be by my side, or even if I'm the one who misplaced you, when I get to you, I'm bringing you home. That's not what it says here. What it says here is that he went down with them. And then the next thing it says is, and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Remember what we just read, him saying, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? In some scriptures and other versions to say about my Father's business, and they did not understand. They were not smarter than Jesus at 12. But he went down and was submissive to them. Y'all remember when you thought you were smarter than your parents? You weren't. Right now, in certain ways, all three of my children are smarter than both me and my wife, maybe in their like academic pedigree. But they still do some dumb stuff. So there's a way where they're not smarter than us at all. Jesus was smarter than his parents. And he went down with them, and he was submissive to them. In other words, he submitted to the process. But he wasn't the only one submitting to a process. It says, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. On multiple occasions, the Bible says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. What was God doing? He was bringing her through a process. He was bringing her through a process because it was going to be hard to be the mother of Jesus and watch the ups and downs in his life, and ultimately him being on that cross, and Jesus saying to John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. So every time you see things happening, whether good or bad, and Mary is pondering these things in her heart, God is bringing her through a process. This is the last time that we hear of Joseph. Jesus was 12. Next chapter, he's 30. And Joseph is not going to be spoken about anymore. Now, we can assume that Joseph was around for some more years because Joseph was a carpenter. Jesus became a carpenter. He was smarter than him, but I don't think he was a carpenter at 12. That's, you know, I think he was there. How long was Joseph around? As long as it took to fulfill the mission of God that God had for him. And part of the process is he would not be there at a certain time. If you even think about that, like, Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man. So it would be right for Mary to be there and a little weird for, like, your stepdad to kind of be there as Savior. But all of this is part of the process. But then the text ends with, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The whole process is necessary. If Jesus is increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, that means he's walking these steps out in life. Stop wanting to skip the process. What helps you to not want to skip the process and deal with what you have to deal with is going back to the beginning of what's the purpose? Like when we remember the purpose, then we can be okay in the process. The whole process, every single thing that you're going through, all of it is necessary. I'm not saying it's fun. I got a process of my own. But it's necessary. And I could tell you this, because I'm the pastor and I speak to a lot of people about things that are deep in their hearts, you don't even want to switch with anybody else. It may look like that on the outside. Oh, I'd like to be. And God gives you a grace that you need as you're walking through the process for you. Submitting to the process. I would like us to consider this for a minute. And I'm not being insensitive to people that go through things mentally and emotionally. But could it be that much of our depression and anxiety and discontentment comes from kicking against the goad? You want your way. And God keeps redirecting you back to the process. And you keep fighting for what you want. I'm not saying that that is the root of all depression and anxiety and discontentment. But I bet you it would clear out a whole lot of stuff. Because some of the things that are in depression, there's a term called situational depression. Which means you're going through this part of the process and you're not settling yourself in that, and all you're worrying about is something else changing. If it's just like, I'm depressed because of Bob, not saying about anybody named Bob here. That's a situational depression. That is not like something is going on deep-rooted on the inside. No, it's the process. Like, we need to know that. Jesus was submissive to the process. The way we're submissive to a process is one decision at a time. Like there is no jumping from 12 to 30. No, the next thing I have to deal with is this right here. How are you going to deal with it? And the culmination and accumulation of how you deal with each one of those things take you someplace in the process. It is about God's purpose and process. Believing him will result to submission to his will in the process. The more you believe God, the more you're going to be willing to submit. Resistance to submission is the greatest demonstration of unbelief. Resistance to submission is the greatest demonstration of unbelief. I'm not willing to go through this process. I want it my way. I want it my way now. Why do I have to be in this situation? Why do I have to be me? Why do I got to be with this? Why are these my circumstances? And it's not what you say. is what you do. Jesus didn't only submit to a process when Mary and Joseph didn't understand that he's being raised in their house. No, it was his whole life. Luke 22, starting in verse 41, says this, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Like the fact that an angel would come to strengthen Jesus as he's saying, this is hard. I'm in the midst of this. Is there another way? Like we all have those places in our lives. But nevertheless, you're my Father. And if this is the way to walk through it, I'll walk through it. And what did he receive? Aid. An angel coming, ministering to him. Which leads us to our last point, God's power. So we're talking about God's purpose, God's process, and now God's power. John 5:19 says, So Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." John 5:30 says, "I can do nothing," Jesus' words, "on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." John 12, starting at verse 49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandments is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." What do we see here? We see Jesus incarnate on the earth. He has demonstrated power in all that he did in his earthly ministry over nature, over sickness, over the spiritual realm, over death. But he did nothing. He did nothing. He did not one thing outside of the Father's will. Catch this, because this is where the power comes in. Children of God, do you know that you have power? I know what some of y'all are thinking. Then where is it? We have the Spirit of God residing in us, those who are saved. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power in love and self-control. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So first, let's get one thing straight. All power belongs to God. There is nothing else that has power other than power that has been given to it or them by God. Like your next breath is not in your hands. Like the sun coming up is not because the sun wills it to come up, it's because the sun sent the sun up. All things are sustained because of the power of God, who is the Almighty, who has all power. He's the one who gives you any power you have. The Bible tells us, in him we live and move and have our being. In him. We live and move and have our being. Your animation, the reason you're not laying dead, the reason why you're still not dust, the reason why you're on this earth is because in the mind of God, through his power, he placed you here. So with that said, you won't succeed because he will not empower your efforts and plans. He empowers his plans. He empowers those who are doing his will, not their own will. So if you're like, where is my power? Maybe it's because you want your will to be done. You got to track with me here. If you, like, think deeply about this. If you are asking God to co-sign your agenda and he did it, you would be working against his perfect will. Not only would you be working against his perfect will, you really don't want what you think you want. Like, let's just say, like, this is my idea and what I want. Energize this, Lord. Bring it to pass. Give me the power for this thing to succeed. And you over here with yours. And his perfect will for everything, including you, is like over here. Like, of course, a child wants what they want. But a parent knows what's good for a child. Most parents know what's good for a child. Our perfect father, who's perfect in all his ways, and his will is perfect, and his time is perfect, and everything about him is perfect. Empowers what you want with your imperfect motives, with you not knowing tomorrow, with you barely knowing yourself. Come on. You could come up, worship team. So what's the point here? You need to get on his program. You must submit to his will. And you must not ask him to do it the other way around. Like too many of our prayers, too many of our thoughts, too many of our energies and efforts in life is spent on, I'm going to make this happen because this is what I want. And we end up being depressed and anxious and all messed up in the game and wondering where the power is and wondering where the time went and wondering why we're not satisfied. Jesus submitted to the Father and his perfect purpose, his perfect process, and he operated in perfect power. This is the good news. We have to believe and know he will empower you as you walk in his will. No, he will empower you as you walk in his will. That is real good news. Because some of us think, I don't want to go too deep with God because I don't want to be that guy up on the stage. I don't want him sending me to the mission field somewhere. I want to do what I want to do. Like, God made you. So because he made you, a very specific way. He's governed every circumstance you've been through, good and bad. He's measured how far, what, the timing, the effects, even the things we did that were messed up. He uses that. All of that made you you. And he has purposes and plans for his children. And anything that he's going to call you to do, number one, know this, because I'm not selling any pipe dreams. It's going to be hard. But it better be hard, because it's going to be beyond what you can produce. But he's going to empower you, and he's going to give you a great joy, because it's what he made you to do and who he made you to be. The best part is that God's plans for you are way better than your plans for you. The good news is, even if you don't see it, if his will is perfect and you're out of alignment, he's not going to empower it. But he's going to keep redirecting you in the process. This is a redirection day. And he's calling you. Believe me. Trust me. I know you better than you know you. I have great plans for you. You're my child. Bought with a price. Stop thinking you're your own. You're not your own. I purchased you. It's my purpose. It's my process. It's my power. What is this all about for us? That you would be part of redemptive history. Like, it's part of this the continuation that's not written in this book. These are God's people. We're God's people. God used them. God is using us. There ain't nothing in this book talking about their own agendas. Like when we see the disciples and them walking with Jesus and Jesus goes off to heaven, they were martyred happily. And because of the purpose that he had for them, the process that he put them through, the power that he gave them, like when people were seeing that power, they were like, whoa. Simon was like, yo, can I buy that? No, God still empowers his people. Do you not know that one plan of God will not fail? None. Not one. And he uses his people that are filled with his spirit, that have been hard-headed. That's why he's bringing us through a process. That come to a place where it's like, all for you, God. Like you've captured my heart because of the love you've shown for me. I want us to stand, spend a couple of minutes in reflection. If you want, you can come to the altar. We need to pray about a couple of things. Number one, we have to repent. God, like I'm always going back to my own agenda. Help me. Help me, God. Like this is real. Like I know I keep going back to my own agenda. I want to do me, and you keep showing me, no, it's my way. And it's the best way, it's the perfect way, and it's for you. Some of us need clarity. God, these things are stirring up in me. I don't know how to actualize it. I'm even confused of where I am in the process. And some of us need to just be able to celebrate. God, you keep redirecting me, and I'm walking this thing out, and I know that I'm in your will. It's hard, and I need to be strengthened. And every time I start going off a little bit, you guide me back on. Let's not run out of this place. Whatever it is between you and the Lord, you can sit in your seat, you can stand, you can come to the altar. Let's sing a song. This is about you and him. Let's spend a moment. Worship team.